Shaken, why the hell aren't you sleeping now?
Yes.
Because I want to hear more about Jim Cuddy.
See, he didn't say Mickey Dolenz.
No, because Shaken's a Canadian, and he, you know, he likes to reestablish his Canadian cred every time he comes on this show.
And that's fine. That's absolutely fine.
And you do. And you're probably wearing your Expos pajamas right now as you talk to us, right?
And my Blue Rodeo 5 Days CD is playing right now.
There you go. So Mickey Dolenz doesn't impress you?
Not at all.
All right.
But I love you, man.
I don't know. I thought Mickey Dolenz was pretty impressive. But like I said, I don't travel in the same company as Brent, and I certainly don't live in California. Why does your baseball team suck? I know they're not your team, but why does the team you cover suck, I guess I should ask?
Because they find new and interesting ways to lose on a daily basis. Essentially, they stopped hitting as a group, and they stopped getting good starts out of their starting pitchers.
Well, that'll do it.
Some of their more reliable relievers turned into not so reliable, and it's every team's losing streak magnified because this is, number one, the longest Dodgers losing streak in 73 years, and number two, they were supposed to be the best team ever, and now it doesn't even look like you can count on them to win in October.
You know, Bill, I was saying, I suggested to Blair a couple of hours ago on the show that you shouldn't.
Was a show that long that you're thinking a couple hours ago? It wasn't that bad.
You shouldn't.
I mean, I tried.
That it's always a bad idea to overreact to playoff-bound teams doing things in September positively or negatively. Cleveland and L.A., that's different. Once the clock turns to the postseason, you never know, and teams generally revert to what they are. But I guess I could be wrong about that. How should we be reacting to the Dodgers in September when we think about what they may or may not do in October?
Well, history says you shouldn't react, as you said, one way or the other. You can find plenty of examples of teams that came roaring down the stretch and blitzed through October, and everybody said, see, the key is to be a hot team coming down the stretch. And you can find examples of teams that were totally cold down the stretch, most notably the Yankees in 2000. And still won the World Series. So there's no correlation, but I think at some point you want to be assured that you know, you're playing well or reasonably well, even if you're not winning. And right now the Dodgers are not playing well.
You know, I would think, too, for the Dodgers, when I look at the depth of this team, when I look at some of the decisions they have to make with their starting rotation, I mean, in a lot of ways, I would think, Bill, that Dave Roberts kind of wanted to have his lineup set going in the postseason, wants to have the pitching arranged going into the postseason. Is that interfering with this right now? Because really right now you're trying to figure out how to win a game. And does that take precedence over maybe deciding a batting order, decide who your starting second baseman is going to be?
Well, part of the interesting thing to me is that what has made the Dodgers so successful over the regular season, not only this year, but the past couple of years under Andrew Friedman, is something that is not an element that you get rewarded on in October, and that's depth. You know, the Dodgers win because they can run out a million different starting pitchers. They can shuttle guys up from AAA to their bullpen on an almost daily basis. They rotate a lot of guys in and out of the lineup, and that does speak well about their depth. But a lot of that doesn't matter in October, as you know, and in fact, it might be a hindrance because guys get extra time off because of all the off days in October, and if you're not playing every day anyway, you might tend to lose your timing. Mm. Dave Roberts did say last night that they are going to move toward a set lineup. They've been trying to rest some guys, give guys extra days off where they can, not push anyone because, look, I mean, the Dodgers could lose every game the rest of the season, and they'll still be in the playoffs. Might end up being the wild card, which would be quite a come down, but it'd be highly unlikely they're not going to win the division no matter what. I mean,
sure,
the Diamondbacks lost last night, so the Dodgers' magic number is 10, and they haven't won a game in 2 weeks. So they'll be in there one way or the other. And at that point, they say at least they'd like to get a set lineup, but that doesn't mean it's going to be the same eight guys every day because that's not how the team is put together. So there'll be at least three positions where they will be rotating players, whether it's a platoon or otherwise.
Is there kind of, like, obviously what we're dealing with here is a good team playing badly because you don't get to where they were without being really good and having kind of pretty sound roster construction and all of that. But is there kind of a through line, Bill, in these losses where you say, okay, is there a connective tissue where you say this is what's wrong? This is what's wrong with this team? Or has it been kind of different things, different nights with different guys?
Well, the two main things you look at are that Corey Seager, who's probably their best everyday player, was out with an elbow injury for a while during this skid. And before that, Cody Bellinger, their Rookie of the Year candidate and team leader in home runs, was out with an ankle injury. So you keep those two guys out of the lineup, and yeah, your offense is not going to look so good. But I think it's basically proving that, you know, the team we saw from April into the middle of August is probably not quite as good as that record, and the team we're seeing now cannot possibly be as bad as this record.
What are we learning, or what are you sensing, I guess, about Dave Roberts through this stretch? What have you been able to figure out about him as a manager? And I know it's hard to, I guess you could sort of follow up Brent's line and say that, you know, you really don't learn that much about a guy when his team's lost 15 games in a row. You really don't learn much about a guy when his team's won 15 games in a row, other than the fact he's a real good team to win 15 games in a row. But what challenge is this presenting for Dave Roberts, manager, beyond coming up with a set lineup?
Well, I think it's shown that there's a lot of goodwill he's built up in the clubhouse, that guys are not turning on him. And he invests by making sure he talks to each of his players every day, and he's always done that. But there's been a couple moments where you've seen some stress. The Dodger fans had booed Pedro Baez, a relief pitcher, who the Dodgers have been a little irrationally committed to, I think. He's good, but he's not nearly as good as you'd think from the way the Dodgers are using him. And he got booed off the mound a couple times at Dodger Stadium, and normally you'd expect a manager to stick up for his player, and Dave did that, but then he said, I think it was ridiculous and irresponsible of the fans to boo him. They can do what they want, but that's my opinion. I think that was ridiculous and irresponsible. And as you know, you never win by going after your home fans.
Mm-hmm.
What is the fan, you know, reaction? Again, watching a team that looked like it was going to win 116 games, but has struggled in the postseason in recent years. That's a bit of an understatement. And then to have it fall off a cliff for a couple of weeks. What is the vibe among the fan base?
Well, it says it would with any fan. Who is to blame? So everybody is pointing the finger at, oh, the Dodgers have been terrible since Curtis Granderson showed up, and he's not hitting, so it must be his fault, or must be this relief pitcher, Pedro Baez, or must be the changes that the Dodgers didn't need to make. And, you know, boy, how that Andrew Friedman loves to tinker. And most notably, you look at Yu Darvish, who has not been very impressive since the Dodgers got him. But you turn around, and if you asked any Dodger fan in July, would you like to go out and get Yu Darvish, 100% of the fans would have signed up. You know, they want to rip Curtis Granderson, who was traded for because Jock Peterson wasn't playing well. And these are the same fans, of course, who said in August, well, what can we do about Jock Peterson? He can't hit. Let's get him out of here. And the Dodgers did. So, you know, you can't lose this many games in a row and just hang it on one player. And people keep searching for an answer and a reason. And the Dodgers are doing the same thing internally. But, you know, to pin it on one guy when it's, you know, 11 straight losses and 16 out of 17 just doesn't make sense.
You've seen the Diamondbacks more than we have. How much of a threat, again, L.A. is going to win the division. I get that. But how much of a threat are the Diamondbacks going to be in the postseason? If they were to meet the Dodgers at some point in one way or another, who would you pick in that series?
It'd be a tough call because the Dodgers' advantage as far as depth would evaporate. Mm-hmm. And the Diamondbacks could run out Zach Greinke, who is one of the best pitchers in baseball. They could run out Robbie Ray, who completely has the Dodgers' number this year. And then we'd see maybe Zach Godley would go for the third game. But they've got Archie Bradley in their bullpen, who, you know, might be the best setup man in the National League. And then if you look at the lineup, you've got Paul Goldschmidt, who might win the MVP in the National League, and J.D. Martinez, who hit four home runs against the Dodgers last week at Dodger Stadium. They're hitting back-to-back, and they're both right-handed. And that's interesting because if you figure it today, the Dodgers' rotation in the playoffs would be Clayton Kershaw left-handed, maybe Darvish right-handed, Rich Hill left-handed, and Alex Wood left-handed. Not a good matchup for the Dodgers.
Yeah, no, that is That is a tricky one. Rich Hill, since the no hitter didn't turn out to be a no hitter, has not been quite the same guy. But what are we looking at with Rich Hill right now, Bill?
He's actually been really good, and he's been effective. The biggest problem he had earlier in the year was not anything with the results of his pitching, but the fact that he couldn't keep the blisters off his hands, and that seems to be all right now. So I don't know that he's the particular issue, but if you look at how the Dodgers have planned the regular season, and this speaks to their depth and how they built for 162 games, they don't ask any of their pitchers to throw 200 innings, except for Clayton Kershaw. Mm-hmm. They don't ask any of their pitchers to go 6 or 7 innings in a game. They have enough guys to come in and pick up those innings. They don't want you to go the third time through the order because sabermetrics says you shouldn't do that. Well, as a result, you've got a clubhouse full of pitchers who in October you certainly can't expect them to go 6 or 7 innings when they haven't done it the rest of the season. So you're going to be really reliant on a bullpen in which you've really identified Kenley Jansen as your closer, who might be the best in baseball. Brandon Morrow is a setup man who I know everybody in Toronto remembers. And that's it. Dodgers really don't know what they're going to do. And that's going to be a problem when you've got to pick up all those extra outs in October.